Hello, I'm Jackie Weaver, and you're listening to the Left Whingers podcast.
Can you start up?
I didn't need correcting.
Shut up! Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition, who can shout the loudest?
This Saturday, we are bringing you a very special episode. Most of you will remember a certain parish council meeting trending on Twitter and making news headlines last year. Well, today we are lucky enough to be joined by the woman who was thrown into the spotlight as a result of the Hanforth Parish Council video and has been very busy ever since. Welcome to the podcast, viral sensation, Jackie Weaver.
I guess our first question to you is, how did you find out about the infamous meeting? They went viral. What were you thinking? What was your first reaction?
Okay. First thing I heard about it was 2 months later, and we had a COVID Christmas in the meantime. So the last thing on my mind was Hanforth Parish Council. And somebody texted me. You know how people do kind of excited texts when they have all sorts of little emojis and things in, saying, "You're trending number three." And I can't tell you how little that meant to me. It's like, I have no frame of reference for that. I don't know what trending means. I can't think of anything interesting I've done in the last 25 years, never mind just recently. So why would anybody be interested in something I'm doing? No idea what you're talking about. So I did that thing where you kind of acknowledge, but don't kind of, you know, it's like it's the equivalent of going... Yes, you know, where you don't really get it or you haven't heard what someone said. And then a bit later, even more excited emojis, you're trending number one, which meant just about as much as three, except the number had changed. So I thought, I know, I'll ask my son. So I forwarded the message on to him and he replies something laid back like, "Oh, don't worry, it'll be a mistake." And I never gave it another thought because it just didn't mean anything to me. I say, no frame of reference for that at all. But it wasn't until the following day that, you know, we live in a fairly rural part of Shropshire. Suddenly there was, loads of cars parked outside, someone, you know, knocking on the door, and the whole day was filled with journalists, TV interviewers, cameras, phone, the lot, with interviewers just wanted to know about handfuls. And my first thought was, what have I missed? Because the meeting was uncomfortable, but it isn't the first time I've had an uncomfortable meeting. And this was months ago, and I'm thinking, I'll have a look at it again, you know, just in case. I don't know, maybe Stuart had walked in half dressed or something to drop me a cup of tea off halfway through the meeting and I'd not noticed. No idea. So I watched it again, and it looked pretty much the same as the last time I'd seen it. So it's kind of, I don't get the interest, but hey, you know, this is the first time the media have beaten their track to my door to ask me to talk about town and parish councils. Great, come on in.
Fantastic. So what was actually your initial journey into politics? How did you, you know, get involved in local government, and what was the kind of drive for you to do that?
Okay, I rightly or wrongly, make a bit of a distinction between politics and local government. I don't think of myself as being involved in politics. I don't think of myself as a political creature, but I appreciate that is a bit naive of me. And also particularly as an officer, we don't have overt political leanings. So I guess for me, it was about being in a very small rural area again. I've lived the last 40 years of my life in a rural area. And feeling that the parish council that we had really wasn't delivering for the community that was there. So that although we had a lot of elderly farmers and their wives, it's that kind of area, still is to a large extent, we also had quite a few young families with children. Potential for a play area, and the parish council was just kind of like, "I don't really need that. Children will grow up, You know, so it won't be long. You want to skateboard park, you know. So it was that that kind of got me involved, thinking, actually, I think we can do more here.
In other meetings that you'd had before the one that was famous, before the infamous one, have you had people just be, you know, exceptionally rude to you or just thoroughly unpleasant? Is that something that happens often in the meetings you've done? Or is that kind of like just a once off? Or is that, for you, the past couple of years, has that been a regular occurrence?
Several things. One, that level of hostility, never experienced it before. But people being passionate, we get that a lot. Because, you know, by virtue of the fact that we're talking about these local councils, these hyper-local councils, if you like, Everybody knows everyone. Everyone knows the issue. And it could be that we've been talking about it for the last 5 years. So, you know, people do get quite passionate about it. And sometimes they get a bit intemperate in the way they speak. So that kind of energy in a meeting wasn't that surprising. But that hostility in a meeting most definitely was surprising. But I've had to reflect over the last year, often because of the question that makes me think about, you know, my answers. Do I experience, you know, dismissive behaviour or poor behaviour in a sexist kind of way? And I guess my answer would be no, I don't. But I have begun to wonder if maybe I'm a little out of step with the rest of the world, and there's a reason for it. I mean, I've worked in local government in Cheshire for over 25 years. Although most of the world didn't know me before 12 months ago, I like to think I have a good and positive reputation in Cheshire as the person who you go to when you have something you need to do with local councils, town parish councils. And I think respect comes with that. And that's built up over a lot of years. And so I guess that when I have conversations with people who are talking about that, you know, younger people like yourselves or older, younger people even, you know, it's not their experience, but then again, they haven't built up that safety net around them that I guess I feel I have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think one of the reasons why the video went viral was because so many people, and not necessarily men to women or not necessarily ages, not necessarily about, it kind of crossed all the divides in that everyone, I think, has been on a Zoom meeting, if you're political or you're involved in local councils, where somebody has been quite rude to you or somebody has said something that maybe wasn't comradely. And I also wonder, one of the things about your video that was so interesting is I doubt those people would have said that to your face if you'd been sitting in a room with them or if you'd been sitting next to them on a chair.
Oh, that's interesting. I think you are right about most people, but I had a much longer involvement with Handforth than just that night. Mm. And I rather think those people would have been just as obnoxious to my face as they were.
I think their legacy is very much written. So I think you came out.
I think they are certainly one of them. I don't think you come across that kind of personality very often.
You say you're not really into politics, but you say local government is so important. The majority of young people that listen to this podcast are interested in kind of the big politics and what's Boris done now and, you know, who said this and who reshuffle and polls and all that kind of stuff. Why, for you, is local government so important?
Let me ask you a question, Kathleen. All those people that you've just been talking about, what have they achieved in the past 12 months in terms of influencing national government? Nothing. And I have this theory that, you know, a lot of people switch off from politics, and I don't care what party, you know, I mean, you know, any party, because they have this perception that they can't influence national politics. And I've said many times, it's not a perception. You can't. Stop worrying about it. You can put all your energies into trying to understand the dynamic of what, you know, perhaps is going on at the moment over the Tea Party. Wine party. And you will never know, because you will never have all the facts. You will always be piecing together an endless story that fits the little bits of information that you have. And even if you put the whole story together, so what? Nothing changes. And I guess that for me is why I feel really strongly about local government. And it's a kind of frustration for me that we often look up at national government, as the place where we think we will affect real change. My argument is it's not, and the place you will affect real change is locally. That's where you will see a real difference. And I know it sounds very, like a Tom Hanks film, but, you know, if we all concentrated on the local, guess what? It would affect a national change. But for as long as we're focusing our attention up here, in a place where we will not have any effect, we're just wasting our energy.
A young person listening to this podcast kind of takes from what you're saying that they want themselves to get involved in local government. Yeah. What's the way in which they could do that? How could they get involved in politics at the local level?
I mean, I think for me, again, it's, you know, I am the eternal salesperson for local government. You know, I mean, I really am. Because one of the things that I feel really passionate about is there's a space for everyone there. I mean, I did do a spell of nearly 4 years a term as a town and parish councillor. Hated it. It wasn't for me at all. That whole hands-on community thing, no, that's not me. although you might not see me, I am actually quite reserved, quite happy to stay at home and knit, no, not out there with the community. So I found my niche in local government as an officer. I've often described myself as the magician's assistant. And the person who's in the background making it work, so that the councillors, the people who do feel passionate about their local area, are the ones with the ideas, the people who want to try and make things happen. They go out and engage with other people. And I'm the one that helps them navigate the system to bring those things into fruition. But I don't want to be the ideas person. I want to be the person that kind of puts all the Tetris blocks together to make it work. And I think that's why I think it's really interesting for young people, especially young people, to get involved with local democracy, because there will be something that will just fit for you. So, for example, a lot of our local councils now are beginning to get very much involved in the climate change emergency. And so they're beginning to come forward with projects and ideas. And believe me, they need help with them. They're not saying that, you know, we have all the answers. So, you know, people who already have an interest in that, the parish or town council is a really great way to start off those initiatives. I think of them as being a tool to help you deliver what you're trying to do, rather than being a body that sits there and you can go along and attend meeting. And the other thing, of course, from that is that it really does help someone who, you know, irrespective of their age, if they want to kind of dip their toe in the political waters, it gives them an opportunity to learn about it, from the grassroots up, to build connections, to build relationships, to find mentors, particularly helpful for younger people and for women. There's a lot of political organisations out there specifically aimed at helping young people or women. And those are, I think there's also groups who do you know, diversity, that kind of thing. But for me, they're not the ones that I've come across very much at the moment. And they're all there ready to help build that career. But build it from, if you like, a place where you will see some reward for what it is that you're trying to do. You know, I mean, if you join a town or parish council as an independent, you can still achieve something. Join central government as an independent, and at best you'll keep the seat warm.
Yeah, okay.
But like I say, I don't do politics.
Well, it's interesting that you distinguish from local government and politics. It's interesting because I think a normal person, if you just ask somebody walking on the street, just has like politics and then everything else. Like, and it's not, I guess people just say football, but actually there are tons of different leagues, and there's women's football, and there's 5-a-side, and there's 11-a-side, you know. So I do understand, I guess, why you would say you're not, you wouldn't classify yourself as a politician. I'm sure lots of people have come up to you in the past couple of months asking for advice, or asked, you know, at events that you've done, and said, you know, I'm a young person looking to get into local government. What's your advice for me? What can I do? And what do you tell them?
Again, I think it depends on I suppose my first question to said person would be, why? Why do you want to get into local government? Now, if the answer is, I want to be a politician, and I mean, that's like a job. I mean, it's a thing. You'll get paid for it. then, you know, okay, that will be a route that you will take that involves you getting affiliated to a party, etc. So find a party that you like, go join it. There's your start of a 10 for that route. But if actually what you're saying is, I want to get involved in politics because I want to affect change locally, then I think that's a different career path. First of all, it isn't going to pay much. But it means that you start by going along to your local parish council meeting. Yeah, I mean, all of them have websites these days. Just type in the name of where you live. If you want to look at a slightly more strategic level, then look at the district or county council where you live. And if you want to read more about it, if you want to find out more about it, then a really good resource would be the National Association of Local Councils, which is nalc.gov.uk. And there's all sorts of free resources there that you can download, which really gives you more of a feel than, you know, me talking about it. Because, I mean, parish councils can get involved in so much. It's difficult to pick, you know, which bits you might be interested in. But that will give you much better a flavour of all the things that parish councils might get involved in. And again, for me, it's more at that level about what are you trying to achieve and how can the parish council help you get there?
So Left Wingers, what we've done there is in our episode description, we've given that link below. So anywhere that you go to listen to our podcast, you'll be able to see a link to that. So just click on the down below if you didn't catch what Jackie just said there.
Yeah. So what does being involved in local government, actually looking at what your week looks like, what is the structure of your week through being involved in local government? How much does it affect kind of your day-to-day life?
Okay, and again, that's a bit like saying I'm a doctor, you know, and kind of going on to Kathleen's point. So that means I could be a GP, heart specialist, a counsellor, you know, it doesn't really cover what you do. And there are so many different ways that you can be involved at member or officer level. And in a way, my day job is even a step removed from that. So I don't actually work for any individual council. I work for an organisation called the Cheshire Association of Local Councils, and in every one of the old Shire counties, they don't all have county councils anymore, there will be an equivalent, the Shropshire Association of Local Councils, the Derbyshire Association of Local Councils. And we exist in order to support the town and parish councils in our area. So actually, myself and a small team look after about 230 parish councils, Cheshire East, Cheshire West, Warrington, Trafford and Holton. So my day job is about providing training, advice, support for those town and parish councils in whatever it is they're doing. So that you might have a phone call because somebody's clerk has just resigned and now they need to know all the employment stuff involved in one person leaving and getting a new one. A lot of them think you just go down Sainsbury's and pick up a new clerk, but alas, you can't. Whole raft of legislation applies. Get on with it. Another one might have decided that it wants to take on responsibility of the town hall from the county council and is looking at taking on a £40 million contract. So every day is really different, and it's different based on what our town and parish councils do. Then there's some generic stuff that happens across them. So remember COVID? Remember how we had new regulations that came in that enabled us to have virtual meetings? Whole load of information given out about that, how you do it, how you manage it, what the rules are for holding those meetings. And then on the 7th of May last year, the one-year legislation that had been brought in to support that fell. Now we have to go back to physical meetings. So they will have to know the new regulations and how to implement them, etc. So there's this constant change of legislation in the background that we have to keep them up to speed with as well.
So going back to you a little bit, you've got a book out called You Do Have the Authority Here. What actually prompted you to write that book?
It's a really good question. It makes me smile because, you know, I kind of think, well, it's kind of obvious. And yet maybe it isn't. I mean, I just couldn't imagine sort of sitting here in one day and going, I know. What the world needs is for me to write a book because I have so many important things to say, really. But the way it started was literally a publisher contacted me and said, would you like to write a book with us? And I thought, well, I mean, I suppose the thing I know most about are town and parish councils, but then I realised we'd probably want to sell more than six copies. So I thought, well, that's not really going to be a winner. And then the other thing, of course, is any book you write about town and parish councils ends up being about 4 inches thick. So then I thought, I know. I guess at the end of each day, the thing that often sits with me is how often we miss the bleeding obvious. So I wrote what I think is largely a little book of common sense, but in other words, stating the bleeding obvious.
And what was the process actually like of you writing that book? Because it is quite a task to finish a book and to get it published and to do the promotion afterwards. What has that process been like for you?
And it's a big achievement as well.
It's a big achievement.
Thank you. It kind of gets lost for me in among all the other stuff that goes on at the same time. So that it wasn't until I did the audiobook for it. A lot of stuff you do for the media is not exciting. And it wasn't until I did that I actually read the book from cover to cover. Because everything else was done in chunks. So I'd write some stuff and send it on to my co-author. They'd kind of then, you know, put it into some logical format, because sometimes it would be bullet points, sometimes it would be a rambling story. So they put it into a format. So I'd often get it in the form of a chapter or even half a chapter. So as I say, it wasn't until I actually read it that I thought, yes, all right.
I love that modesty. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's fine. listeners, if you want to buy Jackie's book, we will, again, have links to Jackie's book in the description. And yeah, please buy it and check it out and let us know what you think.
What did surprise me about the process of writing the book was it wasn't, again, until I kind of saw it cover to cover, I realised how much I'd said about my mother. I make no bones about it in the book. I had a very difficult relationship with my mother. So I guess, like many people who write a book, it was quite a cathartic experience as well.
What's next? You know, you had no idea this was coming. You went viral, even though you didn't know what that meant at the time. Now people are coming up to you in the street and talking to you. I think everyone now knows what a parish council is. So I guess you've done the nation a service in that regard. What's next? What's 2022 looking like for Jackie Weaver?
Well, lots of invitations to go and talk to lots of groups again, which is great, because that really is the, if you like, the purpose of doing all the media stuff. Because it's the fact that you're on telly or you're in a newspaper or something that makes people think you'd be a good speaker to come along to our organisation. I felt for a long time, although there has been a lot of publicity of town and parish councils over this last year, and unfortunately, the press have allowed us to kind of move the story onto a more positive story. I mean, we start with the negative, of course we can, because the behaviour you saw that night was awful. But we quite quickly can move away from that. They don't really challenge me on how many cases of this have we had during the year. Then they accept that it is not the norm. And it also, even the bit of poor behaviour we recognise as being too much. And there's things we're doing in the background to try and address that. But I feel that there's still a gap, and I felt this for a long time, I mean as in like 20 years, where those of us who are involved in politics or local government kind of know about it. And then there's the people who don't know. And it's how you get the people who are showing no interest at all to have a spark of interest to go and find out more. I mean, it's like, the Mount website I just spoke about. Great resource. And certainly, I'm sure, great resource for people like yourselves, you know, who want to have an informed debate about something. You know, a bit of research there would be really helpful. But it's not going to be the kind of thing that someone who, you know, really is just kind of like, well, what's this about, is going to land there and start doing research. And what I'm working on at the moment with a company who said that they're happy to work with me on this pro bono, is actually doing some social media stuff around doing, you know, like little films and stuff that you see on social media. I'm sure there's a name for them, I don't know what it is. just to spark people into saying, oh, what's that about? No? And if we're really lucky, perhaps someone else, you know, who has Megabox will pick this up, and then we can start to run it through bigger associations like the Local Government Association, like the Local Government Chronicle, and like the principal authorities. So more people who have never been really interested in local government are starting to say, do you know what, I might just have a look. So that's one of the big things I hope to be doing in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So yes, about 6 months ago, the person that I work with on the podcast, I always define as a nice young man, yes, Giles, asked if I'd like to do it as a, you know, face-to-face event. And when you're invited to something that's so far in advance, you just go, yeah, no problem. And it's not close, you think, oh my God, what have I done? So I am actually doing two live comedy events in Balham on the 6th of February. Fortunately, it is not a monologue. And I have got some really, I think, really classy comedians joining me for it. So I'm kind of hoping they're going to do the heavy lifting. But it'll be interesting. And part of that is also kind of builds on something that I did before, because I've done training with town and parish councils for a long time, and training people in aspects of the Local Government Act 1972 is like really dull, you know? So I kind of developed my own way of trying to introduce humour into it so that it keeps them with you. And certainly after lunch, it at least keeps them awake. You know, so that it's more of a kind of conversation. Let me tell you about Schedule 12.
I'm sure 2022 will be a great year for you. And you sound so self-deprecating, but really, I don't know why you're saying it, because you're definitely a force of nature who knows. I think you probably don't know how much you know. It's probably one of those situations. I find that a lot with local government people that I know, that they know just like huge amount of stuff about like housing or bins or like, you know, and they just assume everyone else knows it, but that's often not the case.
I think that's an incredibly important point, and certainly something that I definitely feel in my day job. Bearing in mind that, you know, I'm one of the few people probably in local government that has been in post for a long period of time, has seen a lot of change. And then there's the danger that you're the one in the room that goes, tried that 20 years ago and it didn't work. You know, kind of like, don't be that person, because it might not have worked 20 years ago, but who knows, maybe this time with these people, it would actually work.
Awesome. Well, just a reminder for our listeners, if you want to go to the Comedians Council event, it'll be tomorrow, because you'll be listening on Saturday the 5th of February. If you're around Balham, if you're willing to travel, that'd be great for you to go along and support Jackie and support all the comedians that will be there. And again, the link to actually going to that event and signing up for it will be in the episode description.
Oh, and don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I have Twitter followers like children. and if one leaves, I kind of really want to write to them and ask why. So that, I mean, I was something like at Jackie_Weaver20,000 or something, and they changed that to at Jackie Weaver, and gave me a blue tick, which I think is really a white tick, but that's a different thing. And it was like so weird, you know, real people from Twitter. I mean, I thought they were all robots.
I did wonder, because you do have really consistent posting on social media, and as somebody who runs the podcast account and also my own accounts for various different reasons, it is quite difficult to be consistently posting things that people actually want to engage with. And I think you do that really well, so that's why I just assumed that you had somebody else doing it.
Really interested. Sorry, I caught up with it. I'm really interested because I sometimes test the waters, you know, sort of put something out and see, you know, what's the reaction going to be. And something that you think people will be really interested in, you know, like 10 likes. Yeah. And then on New Year's Eve, I posted what I call a fridge magnet message.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean by that? And it had, I think it was 37,000 likes. You think they were all drunk.
it's very difficult to pinpoint why certain things do well, but if you can get like a time when everyone's looking at their phone and then a message that's like funny or something that clicks with them, you know, we speak about it a lot. Like some of our episodes do really, really well and some do less well, but the quality and the content is not too far away. And for us, it's always like a bit of a head scratcher as to why certain things do really well and certain things do less well when we think it's all very good.
Yeah.
We have great guests on every week, so it's difficult. You know, we never put out a bad episode, but some are just crazy and some are not. And, you know, it's just how it is.
But I guess part of the problem you've got is going back to what you were talking about earlier, which is the agent. Because sometimes, I mean, you know, you asked me, I was the one that picked up the email. But we go back to that, if I have an agent that you got to, they're going to evaluate what does it mean to both of us.
And that's
different.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, it's always nice because...
you're going to pay, or how much you know, exposure you're going to guarantee, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Our best bet is always going for people who we have like mutual contacts with. Yeah. So that's how we've gotten the guests which we've got so far. But then again, we'll just fire off a random email sometimes. Like it was actually quite early on into the podcast, we got Billy Bragg on. Really, really random that has a response from him. But they're some of the best episodes where you don't expect the person to get back to you, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're sat here talking to you, and it's really cool. And I think our listeners get that vibe off of us as well when they can tell that we're enjoying chatting to somebody. It makes a whole lot of difference of the recording that we put out.
You must listen to the Jack Whitehall one that I did. He did my podcast for me. And when I listened to it, it wasn't so much when I listened to it, when I was doing it, I constantly got the impression that although he was a bit naughty, he was constantly just keeping it below granny level. No, I don't want to offend this woman. You know, she's you know, clearly, you know, a swear word, and she might kind of disappear altogether. definitely felt that he was very mild.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Let me listen to it, see if you get the same thing.
Okay.
We will do.
What you're saying is that we should have gone into the podcast recording a little bit more racy with the questions.
So we should have started off with the swear words. We should have like, cracked on with like,
Pleasure to meet you both.
Yeah, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much for coming to join us.
We appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Bye for now.
Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you again, Jackie, for agreeing to join us. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, we upload a news episode every Whinging Wednesday, so please subscribe to this podcast and be notified of when those new episodes come out. We also have a mailing list, the Left Whingers Community, which you can join using the link in this episode's description. Likewise, you can keep in touch with us using the links to our social media, which are also in the description. Keep whinging, and we'll see you soon.